This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of hip arthroscopy from the sports section on orthobullets.com. Hip arthroscopy is technically difficult because of the deep location of the hip joint. However, there is technically a lower morbidity with hip arthroscopy than with an open arthrotomy with an easier postoperative course. Indications for hip arthroscopy include femoral acetabular impingement, labral tears, avascular necrosis for diagnosis and staging, loose bodies, synovial disease, chondral injuries, ligamentum teres injuries, snapping hip, mechanical symptoms, and impinging osteophytes. Contraindications include advanced degenerative joint disease, hip ankylosis, joint contracture, severe osteoporotic bone, and significant protrusio acetabuli. With respect to positioning and scope insertion for hip arthroscopy, as far as the position, it may be done supine or in the lateral decubitus position. With respect to joint distension, you can load the joint with saline to distend the joint, and this is typically done under fluoroscopic guidance and requires traction in line with the femoral neck. Make sure you have a well-padded perineal post and approximately 50 pounds of traction. With respect to scope insertion, the anterolateral scope is placed first. The arthroscope is inserted over the guide wire. The anterior portal is placed second. This is placed under fluoroscopic guidance with the hip flexed and an internal rotation. And finally, the posterior portal is placed last. Now let's go over these portals for hip arthroscopy in a bit more detail. The function of the anterolateral portal is to be the primary viewing portal and of course for anterolateral hip joint access. It is located 2 centimeters anterior and 2 centimeters superior to the anterosuperior border of the greater trochanter. Again, this is typically established first under fluoroscopic guidance. The function of the posterolateral portal is for posterior hip joint access, and this is located 2 centimeters posterior to the tip of the greater trochanter. The function of the anterior portal is for anterior hip joint access, and it is located at the intersection between the superior ridge of the greater trochanter and the anterosuperior iliac spine. Remember that flexion and internal rotation of the hip loosens the capsule and assists in scope insertion for the anterior portal. Remember that flexion and internal rotation of the hip loosens the capsule and assists in scope insertion for the anterior portal. And finally, the function of the distal anterolateral portal is to provide access to the peripheral compartment in the region of the femoral neck. The distal anterolateral portal is used in conjunction with the anterolateral portal to visualize the peripheral compartment. Traction is removed and the hip is placed in either neutral flexion and extension or in 45 degrees of flexion to relax the anterior capsule. Fluoroscopy and direct arthroscopic visualization is used to guide distal anterolateral portal placement. This portal is established 3 to 5 centimeters distal to the anterolateral portal, just anterior to the lateral aspect of the proximal femoral shaft and neck. Structures visualized within the peripheral compartment include the femoral head, the labrum, the zona orbicularis, which provides a landmark for the iliopsoas tendon, the medial synovial fold, the femoral neck, and peripheral capsular attachments. As far as rehabilitation after hip arthroscopy, the immediate postoperative period will involve non-weight-bearing or partial weight-bearing for approximately 1 week, with gradual progression to full weight-bearing. Strengthening is started after full range of motion is achieved, and return to full activity is achieved at approximately 3 months. Complications of hip arthroscopy can include direct injuries, which can occur from scope or cannula placement, and direct injuries are the most commonly reported complication, specifically chondral injuries. Neurovascular injury is another potential complication, and this is usually traction-related. Pudendal nerve injury, for example, is the most common neurovascular complication, due to the post that is placed in the groin for traction. Neuropraxia or compression injury to the pudendal nerve is also possible. Perineal nerve injury is another potential neurovascular injury, and this is usually secondary to a traction neuropraxia. You may prevent traction injuries with intermittent release of traction and adequate anesthesia. It's important to remember that the anterolateral portal risks injury to the superior gluteal nerve. Again, the anterolateral portal risks the superior gluteal nerve. The posterolateral portal risks injury to the sciatic nerve, and there is an increased risk with external rotation of the hip. Again, the posterolateral portal risks injury to the sciatic nerve, and there is an increased risk with external rotation of the hip. And finally, the anterior portal risks lateral femoral cutaneous nerve injury, as well as injury to the femoral neurovascular bundle and the ascending branch of the lateral femoral circumflex artery. But the big complication to remember for the anterior portal is lateral femoral cutaneous nerve injury, which has been tested a few times in the past. And speaking of questions tested in the past, now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. And the first question reads, the zona orbicularis is the arthroscopic landmark for access to which of the following structures? And the choices are 1, iliopsoas, 2, pectineus, 3, sartorius, 4, adductor brevis, and 5, rectus femoris. So the zona orbicularis is the arthroscopic landmark for access to the iliopsoas, making 1, iliopsoas, the correct answer to this question. Arthroscopic release of the iliopsoas can be performed for treatment of an internal snapping hip, which is usually caused by the iliopsoas snapping over the iliopectineal eminence or the femoral head. The study by Ito et al. Performed hip distraction on 7 cadaveric specimens and then sequentially released soft tissue structures to determine which structures were most important for hip stability during distraction. They found that the proximal to middle part of the capsule, which includes the zona orbicularis, had the most influence on hip stability during distraction. Moving on to the next question. When performing hip arthroscopy, the hip should be placed in neutral to slight internal rotation to protect which of the following structures? And the choices are 1, femoral nerve, 2, lateral femoral cutaneous nerve, 3, ascending lateral femoral circumflex artery, 4, ascending medial femoral circumflex artery, and 5, the sciatic nerve. So the sciatic nerve is at greatest risk for injury during hip arthroscopy with placement of a posterolateral or posterior paratrochanteric portal. It can be within 3 centimeters of this portal. Advancing the trocar with the hip in neutral to slight internal rotation helps to protect the sciatic nerve from iatrogenic injury. So the correct answer to this question is 5, sciatic nerve. The 2 structures in closest proximity with placement of arthroscopy portals are the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve from the anterior portal and the ascending branch of the lateral femoral circumflex artery from the mid-anterior portal. The femoral nerve and medial femoral circumflex arteries are located medial to these anterior portals. Rotation of the hip has not been associated with increased risk of injury to any of these additional structures. Moving on to the next question. During establishment of an anterior portal for hip arthroscopy, what structure is at greatest risk for injury? And the choices are 1, lateral femoral cutaneous nerve, 2, femoral nerve, 3, femoral artery, 4, superior gluteal nerve, and 5, sciatic nerve. So the anterior portal for hip arthroscopy is approximately 6 centimeters distal to the anterior superior iliac spine, penetrating the muscle belly of the sartorius and the rectus femoris before entering through the anterior capsule. The lateral femoral cutaneous nerve is divided into 3 or more branches at the level of this portal and may be injured during portal placement. The femoral nerve and artery are more medial and at less risk. The superior gluteal and sciatic nerves are posterior and not at risk with an anterior portal. So the correct answer to this question is 1, lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. Moving on to the next question, complications from hip arthroscopy are most commonly related to which of the following? And the choices are 1, use of traction, 2, lateral positioning, 3, supine positioning, 4, deep venous thrombosis, and 5, heterotopic ossification. So hip arthroscopy is currently effective for the treatment of loose bodies, labral tears, chondral injuries, avascular necrosis, synovial disease, ruptured ligamentum teres, impinging osteophytes, and unexplained mechanical symptoms. The setup is typically supine or lateral, and traction is applied. The complications are rare, but are associated with traction injuries, iatrogenic chondral injuries, and neurovascular injury due to aberrant portal placement. Transient neuropraxia of the groin from the pudendal nerve or dorsum of the foot from the peroneal nerve are most common as these are the points where the traction is applied. Bird et al. Are the first to describe 10-year follow-up of hip arthroscopy patients, and only 2 complications were reported. And moving on to the final question, during hip arthroscopy, the sciatic nerve is most at risk with which of the following portal techniques? And the choices are 1, anterior peritrochanteric portal with limb in internal rotation, 2, anterior peritrochanteric portal with limb in flexion, 3, posterior peritrochanteric portal with limb in internal rotation, 4, posterior peritrochanteric portal with the limb in external rotation, and 5, distal lateral portal with the limb in neutral rotation. So the posterolateral portal is made 2 to 3 centimeters posterior to the tip of the greater trochanter. The hip should never be externally rotated during this portal entry, as this brings the sciatic nerve closer to the portal. Internal rotation would move the portal farther away from the sciatic nerve. This concept is similar to internally rotating during a posterior approach to the hip for a total hip arthroplasty. That's all for this review about hip arthroscopy. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.